before?
Yeah.
Yeah, by gosh, I sure do. Just what do you want to know?
Because last time I was asking you about it, and you said you'd have to think about it and try and... There was the women's banquet, and that's when the resolution was passed for the Women's Bureau. It
wasn't passed. It never materialized.
Well, what happened exactly with the resolution? Who introduced the resolution to the convention? Do you remember?
I don't remember. It was 204, 275. I guess that's what it was.
Which was 204? Was that Rochester?
Rochester.
So the two locals together worked on it?
Yeah. If I remember correctly, I don't know. I don't know if I have those resolutions. I have some.
Well, was there a meeting of the women from the locals before?
There is always a women's meeting at the convention. And they take up women's problems, but they never comes to fruition. Never materialize.
Was the meeting right before the convention then, or during it?
During the convention.
So at the meeting it was decided to introduce the resolution?
At the meeting it was decided to... Now, I go back to 1926 convention. 1928 convention, rather. This was after my operation, and they didn't want me to go to the convention because I put up an awful fight that I passed out because I was still weak. I wasn't myself, you see. But I think you can find those records in the union. I don't think I've got it. Maybe I have. I'll have to look for... You see, this was in Cincinnati, Ohio, the convention. We had already the women's local, Carolean, and the top leadership never wanted me to go because I was a troublemaker in their eyes. Because I always wanted something for the women. All through my existence in the union, from the very beginning, I have little slips in there. What I point out, this was in 29, mind you, in 1929, the union was still young. The cleaners, that means the basting force, those that pull waste in those days. Just want to give you this pertaining to women. I like to talk about as much as you, maybe a little bit more, because it... But the only thing is that I relive it and it hurts me. It still hurts me. There were a group of, they call them cleaners, the basting pullers. And the basting was basted by hand, small stitches, on the edge of the coat. I'd like to show it to you so you know what it is. Small stitches. And they have a bupkin, they call it, a bone bupkin. They pull it in there. The hand is cut from the thread. They bleed. And they made nothing to speak of. And they were fired. And when they went to the union, they were told, go to the employer and ask them, plead for admission. So I said, what have we got a union for? I mean, I don't remember the details, but I put it down so that I don't remember. I knew that someday, I was hoping to use it, you see. I think
it
was...
Let me take it out.
All my life, I was interested in the working class. No doubt about it. I fought for men. But primarily, my interest lied with the women. Because all through my existence in the union, and before we were organized, wherever I had an opportunity to protect them, defend them, I was there. At the risk of losing my own job, and it never fazed me. I didn't know what fear was. I hope I will know to the last of my breath. I don't know today. Look, I live alone here in this big house. People are afraid to move. All right, I will go out at night as I used to. But I still carry the little I always said I was never afraid of one man. I had enough confidence in myself, you see. There. But unfortunately, after I came back from school and I felt that I had a little bit more knowledge how to deal with the employer, they put me down. They tore me to pieces. The officialdom and the workers were sheep, just sheep. I got my own interpretation, and one of the pieces of paper that I have, you show me whether I'm wrong. The improvements or changes in social, economic, political, wherever it took place, hasn't been brought about by the multitude. Has. I say no. Unfortunately, they are being used and abused. And you gotta incite them, you gotta provoke them. And they're being left like sheep, and they love me. After they made a mistake, why didn't we? We know. I come to some affairs today. Why didn't he listen to you? 50 years later, I mean this. You know, I don't feel flattered by it. People come to me, they still think I'm in the office. It's complaints.
Well, Sarah, let's go back and review the thing about the Women's Bureau. In 1924, according to the advance anyhow, well, there was a big banquet for all the women.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about the banquet?
What year was it?
1924, that was in Philadelphia.
Yes, I remember.
And at the banquet, apparently, some of the women spoke against women's locals, and some of them were against.
Yeah, sure, the Rochester people.
Were against women's locals?
Yes. They were against Women's Bureau, they were against, because that, I pointed out that was Anne Rosen. No, that wasn't her
Schwartz.
Name. Anne Schwartz. She married a boss later. See, it's horrid.
Now, she was from Rochester?
Yeah.
Well, wasn't the Rochester already had a women's local, didn't they?
Yeah, they had, but they haven't got it either anymore. There's no women's local existing now.
What, was she involved in the women's local there, or she was against it?
No, she was a member of the Women's Local at that time, but she didn't want a Women's Bureau. She was like, see, Bessie Hillman didn't want a Women's Bureau either. She said, you can fight your battle amongst the men. I told her, I said, I can fight. You can fight. Can Mary and Julia fight? They'll fight amongst us if they're in our group. They will raise their voice. But they were threatened, and I've got that black and white. See, I've got all that done.
Well, what was your... So the Rochester local and the Chicago women's local were the ones who decided about the Women's Bureau then?
Yeah.
And that was... They introduced a resolution at the Philadelphia Convention?
Well, that was the... That was right after the Chicago fight. There was such a complicated convention there. Mm. There was a fight for power, and it interrupted the whole thing, you see, at that convention. Charlie Weinstein, you found him in the record. He was manager of Philadelphia Joint Board. He was shattered. He was such a good man that they shot him in the neck. He survived, but he died. They erected a whole educational institution in his name. The women did the work, and they elected the. There was an educational director. What was her name? I forgot her name. I mean, the women did the work, and they get the credit. All through the organization, especially in the needle trade. It's absolutely ridiculous, and they're like sheep. They're scared.
So what was the other, what was all the fight about it at the convention then? Was this
no, no fight. The only one that spoke against it was me. The four, and I was voted down.
Oh, because see, they indicated that it was passed, and then in October, when you went to Brookwood, Dorothy Blanca was made the head of the new Women's Bureau.
Yeah. Well, it never existed, never materialized, but the name only.
Well, what did you think it should be?
Well, I thought that they should revitalize every facet where women work, and get them together, and take an active part, and take their proper places where they belong. In the shops, they should be promoted and jobs as well as in the union. And they fought me tooth and nail. No matter what, that's why I was harassed. I wasn't allowed to, they didn't allow me, they wanted to deprive me of my livelihood, which they did. Many times you'll find in my own records where I was deprived of making a living. Where I finally contacted Sidney Hillman on it. I mean, to that extent, it was unbelievable.
So you thought, though, that the Women's Bureau could help promote, like, new women's locals in other cities and get women in leadership?
Yeah. Where's a little book? I think I went to Rochester and Baltimore. I got the names.
Now, when was that, sir? Was that on your way to Brookwood that you went there?
No, that was before or after. I don't remember.
See, according to the records in the advance, they show the resolution was passed, not unanimously by any means. Then in October, about the time that you went to Brookwood, they say it was launched, and Dorothy Blanca is now going to be the head of it. And then,
Then
for a couple of months, she was in Baltimore, I guess, helping to organize a local, and then somewhere else. And then you don't read much.
Well, I went to see her in her home. She was married already.
Was that when you were at Brookwood?
Yes. She didn't want to get involved too much because her husband was on the general executive board. He took her place, and she was supposed to do organization work. They were used as a window trimming, both of them. Bessie Hillman and Dorothy Blanca. And then there was Mamie Santoro. I got part of her letter, part of it somehow got lost, where she tells me she spoke to him because I kept on bothering her. She was on the general executive board. And she said that Hillman told her he knows better than I do. See? He knows what we need. That was it. But, you see, when it came down where they wanted to kick me too much, he said, after all, Sally's ours, does she fight for herself? I mean, they didn't want to kill me altogether. But they didn't let me breathe. They didn't let me develop anybody. I didn't want anything for my... I wanted to develop other people, not myself. I wasn't... If I would have been interested for myself, I would have sat there like Clara Leah did until she died. Or like they did. See, I wasn't interested in that. So I was no good. I was no yes man. I was, as I said, a nonconformist. I didn't want to conform to their ideas. I wanted something to be done for the women. Because they still need a lot of help. One God knows that they do.
Well, so it was just really a name only that there was a bureau for you?
That's all. It never existed, to my knowledge.
So when she went around... Now, you in here, you talk about how they really made a dig at her by she'd organized a group and she wanted to present a charter or something.
Yeah. See, I went to her house about it. Now, she did all the work. And I make mention of the fact, when it came to presenting, she didn't present the charter. Someone that perhaps was never on the picket line, he got the credit for it. Now, this, say the goodness, she probably won't even remember then. I fought for her. She was in Rochester and I was in Chicago. Whether she didn't know any better or she didn't care, and she was raised in the YWCA. And now she's a Zionist. Okay. Well, she voted for Nixon because he's protecting the Jews in Israel. And born in London, in the east side of London, whatever they call it there. She was a business agent. They paid her less than they paid the men. I fought it from Chicago. Then they put her on to organize shirt makers. They took her off. The excuse was that there's no funds. It was during the Depression. They put a man on her place. She kept quiet. I didn't. So Potosky wrote, I wrote to Potosky, he says, if I would know you, sir, I'd put you on my, cross my knees and give you a good spanking. And that was the attitude. They said, they made a joke of it. How dare I talk back to the Almighty.
When you went to talk to Dorothy Belanca, how did she feel about it all?
She felt bad, but she wouldn't listen. She wouldn't disturb the status quo. No, they wouldn't sacrifice. No, they wouldn't do that.
So it all just lasted a few months and then died totally?
It never existed. It was never formed. There's a name only. Like my scholarship. I've got it if I wanted to be mean, I would take it to court, because it's officially adopted in the German board that this scholarship must go on.
Oh, it stopped?
Oh, there's no sign of it. So, but I say, I've got that. You see, I don't want to burden you with it, because I expect you to use it in the book. But I say, when a dog bites man, that's no news, but when man bites dog, it's news. I draw the analogous.
Yeah, I found you gave me that's in these papers.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
it is.
I
think that's good. I think that's a good good illustration. They they get scholarship, they didn't give it out of their pocket. I was sitting in a machine sweating while I was taking up complaints and fighting for the life of the worker and making a living for myself and for others in the family. Why? For whom? So there is a colored business. There is a sweatshirt business thing. I talk to her. All right, then I come there, she kisses me. A big deal. The first one in Arizona died off. Close. What is it Miller doing about? She said, I can't do nothing, the man blocked me. The man blocked. If I would be there, and I would have the strength, they could block. I'd block their heads, you see. And they wouldn't give me the floor. I take a chair, I say, you give me the floor. But
someone like Dorothy Belanca just was not a fighter at all.
She was a fighter, but to a degree. She was a fighter. She would go in. I told you, Bessie at least. You know, I had an appointment with Dorothy Belanca in Chicago. She came in to speak to the woman, apparently. And I know one thing. If I have an appointment with you, you're a big person, I'll give you 10 minutes grace. If you're a small person, I'll give you 5 minutes. I won't wait. I don't care if it's the king. I won't wait for him. I had an appointment with her at the Morrison Hotel. This was years ago. I waited 15 minutes and I was just ready to walk away. I said, listen, Dorothy, you may be a big shot. I said, she gave me all kinds of things. I said, I don't give a damn. I know if it would have been somebody else of note, not Sarah Rosner, he would have been here on time. I didn't mean that. You know, I didn't play up to them. I admired people that have gumption, that have knowledge, that are all right. I respect them. I don't worship anybody. There's no God. I may disagree with you, I may admire certain things about a person. Certainly I didn't agree with Frank Rosen, but I admire certain qualifications in him that others didn't possess. He was a fighter. Inside he fought more than the rest of them, and I admired him for it. As far as the women, he was lousier than all of them. He was as lousy as can be. He had no respect for them at all. Superficial. You go through even the events. He lauds them, glorifies them. But the biggest thing he gave him is when I talked to him, he said, what do you want, sir? What do you want? What are you looking for? Is he getting married? I tried.
Well, so they decided that by saying that there's a women's bureau, but not doing anything about it, that would shut everybody up then.
I said that the women's bureau didn't exist. It only on paper, as I say, just like my scholarship business.
Well, Sarah, did you have the same idea about the Women's Bureau that Dorothy Belanca did when you talked to her? Did you, in the beginning, think about it in the same way, do you think?
I don't remember the exact deal. All I was fighting throughout the country, wherever there was a joint board in Baltimore, Rochester, where I went, is that the women should take their proper places. Bureau, no bureau. The name didn't matter to me. The title didn't mean anything to me. I don't recall I don't recall much about the rumors. I know they were talking about it, but I was never put into force.
Now, when you were at Brookwood, did you make trips to those cities and talk to the women?
No. No, not when I was in Brookwood. I devoted all my time to Brookwood. I went to the convention from Brookwood in 1926. That was in Montreal.
Now that Montreal convention.
Yeah.
That's when you wrote about the silent protest.
Yeah. Well, then I wrote myself. Because I was disgusted, I suppose, with what I don't... I wanted this to be published, and they refused unless I have it altered to the editor's liking, and I didn't want anything to be, so they never published it.
Well, at the convention, did you talk to the other women?
Oh, yes, always.
Do you remember what happened at that Montreal convention?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember details. I don't remember exactly. I was no delegate, see, I was just a visitor at that time.
Well, was the silent protest just something you saw it that way, or was it that the women were just...
No, I thought that was my own doings. That was my own personal doing.
And there was not a planned protest by the women?
No,
just...
no. That was my own. I just wanted to show Dorothy what they're doing to her. And she agreed. I said, why do you keep quiet? That's how this was brought about. She said, well, you know, what can you do? And I said, don't disturb the status quo.
So by the time of the convention, there wasn't even a Woman's Bureau on paper, was there?
No. Uh-uh. There are articles in various union papers about the scholarship that was established here, on my account here. And many labor people, I got some of them out. Eventually I'll show them to you.
Now,
you see what happened is they use it and then they forget about it. They promote their own interest, their publicity for themselves. It's not for the idea that is promulgated by the individual. What was my purpose of the whole thing? Was I to gain anything from it? I was ready to retire then. I couldn't be accused of personal motive. But she said they use it for personal aggrandizing, for personal, I don't know what to call it. It's... Now, is there anything else that I can give you? You're hung up on the Women's Bureau.
Well, mainly because it, you know, in the advance, it would say, it said the Women's Bureau was formed in October, and then it would say, Dorothy Blanco from the Women's Bureau is in such and such a city organizing. Then after about 4 months, there's nothing at all. So I wasn't clear just when, if it really was formed, and then what happened in 1926, and then when you were talking about 1928 convention, when you fainted, what was that all around?
You see, in 1928, this was Cincinnati. I believe it was, again, the Women's Bureau that I brought up, if I'm not mistaken. And it was, again, this Anna Schwartz that was knocking it down.
Now, by then she was on the General Executive Board, wasn't she?
Who?
And
she was married to the manager of the Buffalo organization. Originally, she's supposed to be an radical. They were radical until they got themselves promoted, and then they stopped, you see. Really, it's the only one to my observation that remained halfway decent was Bessie Hillman. I somehow she remained simple, fair-minded. She couldn't. because if she would have had brains, she wouldn't have made that statement to me. And I asked her at the Boston Convention, this was in 1920. I said, Bessie, when are we going to take over the illness? What about they change the Constitution? She said, that time you had nothing to lose. She was simple. And she was envious, and I was business agent. She thought it was the greatest thing. But she didn't think that the Women's Local was worked well. But that I was business agent was all right. And I could have never been business agent without the Women's Local. Never. That she didn't, she couldn't figure it out.
Well, Sarah, in 1928, then you were going to introduce a resolution again for the Women's Bureau?
I don't remember what it was, but it was all also concerning women. What it was exactly, I don't recall. I think I have the proceedings of the 1920 Convention. I know I passed out. Yeah, I was still schwach.
But when was your operation?
The latter part of 27, see? In January, I was still in the hospital, and the convention was in May. I was still schwach. And they didn't want me to go. Carolina fought me, and they all fought. And lo and behold, my biggest enemy, he was never my enemy. I fought him because I sided in with Frank Rosenblum. But he jumped from the platform, not the girls, not the women, but Sam Levine. As a human being, I told you, you see, you got it in my writing that I liked him as a human being, but as far as intellect, I can't help it. You see, I take a person apart, and I figure out the value, to what extent.
Sarah, getting back to Sam Levine, this paper that you wrote to him about the Women's Local, I think must have been right after it was formed.
What we want?
What is it that we want, Brother Levine?
Yeah.
Now that must have been in direct response to how he was behaving then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What was his attitude?
He couldn't help himself because he was surrounded with bastards like Benny Brenzel. After a bit, you know, it's like, does Nixon have all the say? If he has all the say, lick it in the red, like they say. He's burying himself now. He's surrounding himself with a bunch of crooks. And he himself is a crook to begin with. All right, so Sam Levine himself is a decent sort, and he guarded the finances of the union. He was no squander, he was no splurger, he was no show-off. He was very careful and he tried to save the membership. I know that when it came to a reduction, and I hollered Brother Murder, Hume was coming in to announce the reduction, and I told him I'm going to go on top of the roof and holler. He called me in, and he explained to me, I couldn't refuse him. He showed me black and white, and with 6,000 people on the street, so I wasn't ready to satisfy myself and have 6,000 people on the street just because I thought I was right. I know the whole system is wrong. But under the system, you've got to use some judgment for the moment, for the present.
So he was mainly responding, you think, to pressure from Hillman and Rosenberg
and
others?
Yeah. Well, see, if it wouldn't be for him, we wouldn't have had the locals to begin with. He was in with us to form the local originally. We couldn't have had it without him. He was sympathetic. But then, to do what my intentions were, and very few others, Mary Richardson and a couple of very few others that Hilda Shapiro, my best friend, there were very few that really went to the root of the thing, what the purpose of the woman's local was. Now there's nothing.
What happened to the woman's local when you were in Brookwood? When you came back, what was it? Had it grown a lot or had it changed?
Went to pot. Yeah, and I say it's bad. And this is what I was trying to avoid all the time. Is if it depends upon one individual, it's no good.
So, what I'd like to get, what I wanted to get was from 1928
until
you came out here. I have to know in very general terms. I don't have
38.
So that was 10 years.
38, I was out here. I came out here in 38.
Because so for that period, I don't have too much, and I'd want to know what, what to look at and to know what we should go into during that period. What happened from you after Brooklyn? You went back to the shop, and then you had the operation, and while all that time you were the chair lady.
Yeah, you see, then I was defeated. It's chair lady. I cut that down.
Oh,
now.
When was that?
Oh, that must have been in... I think that was in... 20 or 30... I think I've got the record of it. I'll have to find that somewhere.
Okay. So you were then defeated as chair lady. What was your role in the local?
Then? I was president. I was president, I was a delegate to the joint board of directors.
And what years were those then?
Huh?
What years were those? From 30 to about?
Until I came out.
Oh, so you remained president the whole time till you came out?
Yeah.
Okay. Then, and you ran for alderman when? You ran for alderman in there somewhere too.
Yeah, that was in 34. I told you, I gave you that leaflet, didn't I?
Oh, no. Do you have a leaflet from when you ran for alderman?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, sure. No. And I went to the Continental Congress.
In the period, say... what kinds of things happened with the women's local, with the fight for women?
You wanted to know about Brookwood, and I got
you
some of this here, but you find it interesting about Calhoun's discharge and all that. Let's see what I got here.
Because I'm from Milwaukee.
Carolina
oh,
Abram.
Good. Okay.
See that I keep things.
So, well, some of this is probably going to be in here. I won't ask it. One thing I wanted to ask you, though. Every summer, between Brookwood and then going back in the fall, you went back to the shop?
Yeah, for 2 months. From June to October.
And so you were able to make enough during that time for the next school year?
And help the family. I made enough. I earned enough.
Now, at that time, when you came back from Brookwood after your mother died in the summer, was your father living with you? Was he
no, still? I lived with my girlfriend. My father was... I'll tell you more about that later. That in itself takes up... See, I just want to tell you that I love my mother, but I respected my father for his knowledge. He wasn't... as a human being, he had many faults, but I respected him. Now, for instance, I've got all his correspondence. It has to be interpreted. He wrote in Jewish. I want to show you his writing. Anybody that can read Jewish will appreciate it. It's a different ball game with him. My mother was, she was an outstanding human being. So was my father in his way, because the rabbis, all the known rabbis, used to come to him for consultation. He wasn't an outgoing person. He would have had my guts, and his knowledge, he would have gone places. And with me, it would be just the country. If I had his knowledge, my guts, I would have been somebody.
Well, Sarah, in 1927, I think, 1927 is when you went through, you were sick and you had the operation. That's when you were getting the
December, December 1927, yeah. 1927, 27. I went to work in February, I think.
So how long were you out of work altogether then? You worked up until you went to the hospital?
Yes. No, I didn't work because I had to go for examination. I worked, as I say, this superintendent, he didn't want me to go. That in itself will take up quite a bit, because I'm going to talk about him quite a bit. I've got some correspondence with him when I came out here, and I was in the streets out here. I had no place to go, no money. I always had $1,000 for emergency, and that I kept in case I get sick. The Hungarian in me, didn't allow me to. I used to sleep in the car, and I'd tell him I slept here and I slept there. And then they found out in the union, the girls, my secretary, they sent me money, and I was kind enough to send it back. The Hungarian in me. No, I'm no good that way, you see. No, it's not right. I don't think I would do it again. See, because it's a false pride. It's a false pride. I came out here and I wasn't well. I wasn't well for a good many years, but I went on. I had a good front to this day. Now I was always ready to die, and I go on. God knows how long I'm going to go on this way. It's a funny thing, isn't it? Because I never had fear. I think that has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
When I went for that operation, when I was, mind you, being told by 3 doctors that I had cancer, I shouldn't come back 6 months hence, because there'll be no use. Outright. And I didn't tell anybody. I went on laughing and playing cards and drinking. Oh, I drank and ate when I could. I'm having let go. If I die, I die. So what? Everybody must die sometimes. That's the only vice I have left. And I'm sorry that I can't enjoy the other vice. And people can't understand when I make that statement. They don't realize that it's because of my... I don't want to suffer. I hate to suffer. I have all the paraphernalias upstairs. I get out of breath. I have a little machine that gives me air. I lose my breath, see. So I have the air there. And I keep going.